Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Nida Dach Samach Vav Nida 66. Today's Daf Yomi, our Gemara records the statement that Rabbi Zera says that the daughters of Israel were stringent upon themselves, Benot Yisrael Chmiru Atzman, and they became stringent in a matter of the laws of Nida, which has relevance to this very day. So first we take a step back and we say that we review something that we've discussed before in our podcast. That is that a woman who sees blood for the first time, or if she sees it during what is called her days of Nida, then we say that she is a Nida. And about her, the Torah says she is 7 days in her Nida days, and she's what's called Tamea for 7 days, that she's not allowed to be with her husband physically. And then on the eighth night, the night of the going into the eighth day, so it's after 7 days, that night she is able to, biblically speaking, to immerse in the mikvah, and then she'll be ritually pure. And the Torah really, when from a biblical level, when a woman who's in need to seize blood, the Torah does not require her to wait 7 clean days after the end of that week. The Torah just requires 7 days, whether she saw the blood for 1 day or whether she saw it for many days. She is, biblically speaking, immerses in the mikvah on the night going into the eighth day. However, after those 7 biblical days, we have which are called the days of Nida, then the Torah has what's called the days of Ziva, and those are the next 11 days. If she sees blood during those 11 days, if she sees blood 1 day, then she has to wait another day where she doesn't see blood, and then on the third day, after she immerses on the second day, she's able to be with her husband on the third day, and that's called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And so too, if she sees blood for 2 days, she has to wait 1 day and then immerse, and then she can be with her husband on the next day. But if she sees blood for 3 straight days, then she's what's called a Zava Gedola, and then the law is she has to count 7 clean days without seeing any blood before she can be with her husband. And then the eighth day, she goes to the mikveh after those 7 clean days, and then she is with Tahora, and she and her husband can be together again. So that is the background. In this context comes along, we have first the takana that Rabbi made. That Rabbi made a reform, and says Rav Yosef, in the name of Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav, Hiskin Rabbi Besados. Rabbi made a takana, made a reform in the fields or in the villages where the people are not going to be considered to be scholars there. And so therefore the concern was that the women wouldn't know how to distinguish between their days of Nida and their days of Ziva. And so therefore the takana was established that any woman who was Rasa Yom Echad, if she saw 1 day, there was a concern that she was a Zava and she wasn't just a Nida. And so therefore she had to, the concern was Teshev Shisha, she had to wait 6 more days Vahu, aside from the day of that she first saw it. And even though we generally speaking, if a woman sees 1 day during the days of Ziva, she only has to wait 1 day. But since it's possible that she was also in her days of Nida, therefore Rebbe required her to wait an additional 6 days in case maybe she was confusing her Zava day, that it was really a Nida day. And so therefore he required 7 days. And if a woman was Shnayim, but if a woman had established 2 days, if she sees the blood 2 days, then we have again the same concern, and maybe it was her days of Nida, and so therefore Teshev Shisha, she had to wait another 6 days without anything in order to determine that this was her days of, in case it had been her days of Nida, she would have waited the required 7 days. 6 days Vahain, so 6 days plus those initial 2 days. Let's say she saw it 3 days in a row, well then we have a problem, it's not enough. Shalosha, if she saw 3 days in a row, it's not enough to see, count just additional 6 days. But then we have to wait an additional day. Then she has to do Teshev Shiva Nikiyim, and that 7th day must be completely clean, because maybe she was in her days of Zava Gedola. And so therefore, that's why it's not enough just to have 7 days total. It needs to also be 7 clean days. So that's a total of those 7 clean days plus the 3 days that she had initially seen. Comes along Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera was even stricter. He says, Benos Yisrael, the daughters of Israel, Hichmiru Atzman, they were strict upon themselves. Afiru Ros Tipas Dam Kechar, though even if they saw a drop of blood like a mustard seed, Yoshvos Alea Shiva Nikim, they have to wait for those 7 days. They have to count 7 clean days on the basis of that one drop of blood. And why are we counting 7 clean days? He says they were strict upon themselves that they viewed that that drop of blood as though they had seen 3 days of Ziva blood in a row. And even though, biblically speaking, only if she saw 3 days in a row would she be required to count 7 clean days, nevertheless, Rabbi Zera says that the daughters of Israel were strict upon themselves that even with one drop, they and even if it was during their days of Nida, they counted 7 clean days. This is a tremendous stringency. So you might say, okay, so it's a stringency that the Jewish women accepted upon themselves. And through much of history, the Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Ramban, were very strict, and they say we can't be lenient in this area, and we can't just view it as a mere custom. However, what happened in the recent years is that people noticed that there were cases called halachic infertility, that since the days where a woman was ovulating might actually conflict with these 7 clean days, which happened as a result of the stringency of Rabbi Zera. And so there became a halachic discussion whether or not we can be lenient in this case and waive these 7 clean days for the purpose of preventing a halachic infertility, preventing a woman from being infertile. Rabbi Clapper has a recent discussion. He wrote a tshuva about this matter where he goes through all the sources and he argues that under certain circumstances there is a basis for leniency. He doesn't paskin halacha, but he suggests through a very clear and cogent analysis that under certain circumstances where the alternative is infertility or chemical manipulation of a woman's body, that there are certainly rabbis who were lenient under those circumstances. And so that is a tshuva that people should read if they are, God forbid, in a situation where they are challenged by this dilemma.